In the Wärzala Dumke household, we, like most households, have a series of rules that we teach and try to live by. This is all in the hope of raising good, productive members of society and to make sure that each little darling child of ours has some sort of chance to actually make it out of our house alive. Despite the attempts on their life by one or both of the other two. The number one rule of the house is a simple one. Don't be a jerk. Lots of other more colorful colloquialisms could be used to sum up the main point of that rule. But honestly, my wife Kirsten and I pray and work hard as parents to hopefully produce kind-hearted, compassionate human beings. Now, in the pursuit of this quest, we have become ardent in the process of forgiveness. When there is a conflict where one has hurt the other, we have encouraged them to say that they're sorry and that the other offers forgiveness. On occasion, the one forgiving might also add that what the other child did was not okay. From time to time, we do run into certain situations where there is resistance to forgiveness. There might be a cry for justice, or they just might flat out take retaliation on their sibling. Well, this cry for justice, this desire for retaliation is not just limited to a five-year-old who has had their art supplies stolen by some three-year-old bandit, but stretches across ages, socioeconomic strata, and the human experience as a whole. This impulse, which falls under a category I like to refer to as side effects of the fall, which led to the creation of laws around the idea of justice. And in the Sermon on the Mount, we encounter Jesus referring to the lex talionis, the law of retaliation. This is the principle that declares that the punishment of an offense should not exceed the offense itself. For example, if for some godforsaken reason I decided to stab you in the eye, you can claim no more than one of my eyes for satisfaction of my wrongdoing. You might want to, but because of this law, you are not legally allowed to kill me. How far removed from the imago Dei, or the image of God, had God's good creation come that we needed to create laws to put limits on how much pain or destruction we could inflict on another human being in the face of offense or of personal loss. It makes sense that this could happen when the world is viewed through a lens of power or dominion. And the examples listed by Jesus here seem to have these issues at the very heart of the matter. Someone strikes you in order to put you in your place, a place of submission, or to shame you in the presence of would-be equals, or to further embarrass in front of those deemed superior to you. Someone comes to sue you, to take from you your possessions, which may serve as a sign of stature or standing in society, or as a reminder that you are an oppressed people. You can be forced into a certain amount of labor by military personnel. Here, Jesus lifts up instances where the intent of the act against the person is to subjugate them, to demean them, to dehumanize them. Jesus knows what's in their hearts, as well as our own. Jesus knows what type of reaction to these offenses might be the first to arrive in our minds and to be acted out in means of retribution and violence. This comes as a direct result of our fallen status, and with it our loss of fear and trust in God. Martin Luther pointed to this as the loss of the Imago Dei, or a disorientation of the human away from God, from being in total relationship with God to a fractured one, a relationship that finds us dealing with each situation such as these in ways in which we justify by our own means, our own measures. Or said in another way, we are a world of hurting people who hurt others in the hopes of alleviating our pain. Leo Tolstoy, who advocated passionately that evil is restrained not with violence but with love, had this to say in a letter he wrote in reply to the Indian revolutionary Taraknath Das in 1908. Tolstoy wrote on how ideologies had hijacked the law of love and tried to replace it with a law of violent submission. He wrote, "This truth was made known to people who considered that a community could only be kept together if some of them restrained others. So it appeared quite irreconcilable with the existing order of society. The dissemination of the truth in a society based on coercion was always hindered in one and the same manner, namely, those in power feeling that the recognition of this truth would undermine their position, consciously or sometimes unconsciously perverted it by the explanations and additions quite foreign to it, and also opposed it by open violence." This truth that Tolstoy points to in his letter is the very same thing that Jesus points to in his Sermon on the Mount. It is the very same thing that Jesus proclaims when he says that we are to love our enemies and to pray for those who persecute us. And this brings us squarely back to our disoriented relationship with God. This brings us face to face with the problem of our pursuit of power and dominion over others. This brings us back to my household and a 5-year-old girl who's mad as hell that some 3-year-old took her art supplies and she wants to go off on her. These are all clear signs of our fractured resemblance of the Imago Dei. And there you have it. Plus perhaps a confession of our addiction for and susceptibility to violence and retribution. Jesus here raises the bar from just resisting those who would demean us, those who would dehumanize us, to the audacious expectation that we would love our enemy, that we could somehow actually love our enemy. Brothers and sisters, this is not some form of hyperbole. This is not some kind of wishful thinking for another world. This is Jesus clearly calling us to something higher than what is fair or just. This is Jesus calling us to something much greater. I believe this is what he meant by a righteousness that exceeds that of the scribes and the Pharisees. And thus, the sermon ends with an unabashed call to be as perfect in love as God, a teaching that started as a simple blessing of the destitute crowds before him, culminates with a call to be perfect as our Father in heaven is perfect. Are we truly capable of such a reach? Can we really, honestly, love our enemies? Another occasion in St. Matthew's Gospel where Jesus had just lost a potential disciple after demanding that he give away all of his stuff, Jesus looked at his disciples and declared that for God all things are possible. So if the motivation for loving our enemies is the nature of God, then perhaps the ability is also of God. As people of faith, we believe this to be true. We believe that through his life, death, and resurrection, that Jesus has given us through the Holy Spirit the ability to be little Christs, imitatio Christi, which as a lived reality in baptism bears with it the imago Dei. It bears the image of God. St. Augustine taught we have a capacity for God, this capex Dei, which makes it possible for the human person to be reformed, reshaped through God's gracious gift. Only those who have been forgiven much could ever grasp it. Only those who have been loved beyond all deserving could begin enacting such a program with a straight face. So perhaps a fitting mantra for us would be this: do the right thing, always, especially for those whom you would consider your enemy. This includes praying for them, seeing them as God sees them, resisting the temptation to dehumanize them, and reminding ourselves constantly of the grace, mercy, and love shown to us by God. This claims that this is the way that God is, and therefore this is the way we ought to be. God's love is extravagant, risky. It's an absolute offense to common sense. And God makes it possible to love like that. Thus, we, as God's children, are able to love like that. This is the reality of the kingdom that Jesus embodies and invites us to pray for as we live it out. Jesus is the one who loves and forgives us who have sought power and dominion over others, even over God. Jesus is the one who prays for his enemies as he hung on the cross. For a world full of people who cry out for justice or retaliation, a world full of hurting people who hurt people, this resurrected Jesus brings us light, life, and healing. Most of all, hope to redeem us all. Amen.